Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and welcome to my very first episode of my new podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. And I am thrilled that my premier guest is none other than three-time Drama Desk nominee, Tom D'Angora. Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Adam.
How are you?
I am fabulous, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so thrilled that you were my first guest because you were my very first guest when I launched Call Me Adam.
Yes.
So this is like a wonderful culmination.
It had a different name.
It did. It was A Dumbbell's Quest.
Yes.
Yes, but nobody knew how to pronounce it, so yes. I was like, time to change it. And then I was like, this is what everybody will call me. Just call me Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebranding.
Yes. I love it. And you've called a few times, which has been great. So thank you for answering again.
Oh, I love it.
So we have so much to talk about.
Yes.
First of all, I want to know, what are you loving that you have seen? Broadway, off-Broadway, TV?
Oh, okay. I loved Fosse Verdon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Did you?
I watched part of it. I still have to catch up on the rest. But I was loving
Michelle
it.
Michelle Williams was breathtaking.
Oh my God, amazing.
That was super, super enjoyable. What else have I watched? I watch a lot of TV now.
Yeah.
I'm not fully caught up in General Hospital, but things are getting very hectic. Mm-hmm. May Sweeps was great.
Did Rebecca Budde come back yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
She's coming.
She'll always be Greenlee to me.
Yes, yes,
you
me
know?
Too. Yeah.
But that's going to be great. And yeah, I've just been so busy at my theater, closing shows, opening shows,
yes.
moving shows,
yes.
that it's been you know, hard to catch up on anything that I don't produce.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot going on. I mean, you just closed Musical after
yeah.
a decade,
yeah.
over 3,000 performances.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous Wonderettes also just closed.
Yes.
Addie Anuno. Is that still?
It's, well, we're on a summer hiatus.
Okay.
Because we did that last year too.
Okay.
And we'll be back, I don't know where, but we'll be back in the fall, I'm sure.
Oh, terrific. And Naked Boy Singing is still running.
Yes.
And you just opened a musical about Star Wars,
yeah.
which is your newest show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been at Theater Row, which is where we're filming our interview.
Yes.
You've been here for almost a decade.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Yeah. And now you're
almost
moving
9 years.
To St. Luke's
yes.
Theater. So, how come you're, why are you moving?
I think it is time to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, first off, we're doing a show called A Musical About Star Wars. It made a lot of sense to move from the Kirk to the Luke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, but you know, I think the show will be better there. I think it's a better location, 46 and 8th Avenue.
Yeah.
It has 76 more seats.
Oh wow.
You know, so I think it was a better decision for these shows.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, when did you actually take residence there?
July 13th. Star Wars starts again July 13th, and then Naked Boys will begin again at the Theater Center.
Oh, okay.
July 20th.
Great. Oh, so you're dividing out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, terrific. So the Theater Center is 50th and Broadway.
Yes. Which is also a killer
great
location.
Yes. Yes. I saw what did I see there? I mean, I saw the Fantastics there. Perfect Crime,
mm-hmm.
I saw there.
That's still there.
Yeah, that's still running.
And The Office is there now.
Yes.
Where Fantastics was.
Yes. So that's two great locations you're going to have.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're really excited.
So
I'm not excited to move.
No, well,
which I'm in the middle of right now.
Yes.
You're sitting in filth, as you see.
I wouldn't say filth, it's clutter. So let's talk a little bit about Musical and just mm-hmm. the run of it. So it ran for a decade.
Yeah.
Do you have any, and some of the special guests I do just want to mention were Perez Hilton, Emmy winner Jack Hay, SNL star Sherry O'Terry, LaToya Jackson, and Queer Eye's Carson Kressley, just
mm-hmm.
a handful of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christine Petty, Michael West,
Andrea McCardle, Leslie Kritzer
yes.
has been in it, Rory O'Malley was in it,
yes,
Christina Bianco.
So, just, I mean, everybody
yeah.
has done it. So, do you have any, like, top memories or top mishap that happens.
There's so many. I mean, because I was here the whole time. I was always here. It was so much fun. Oh my. One time, this is my favorite. I got a frantic text message from Sherry O'Terry saying, "Oh my God, Tom, I don't know what to do. I didn't realize what time it was, and I'm at Saks Fifth Avenue, and the show's in 5 minutes." She thought she was late for the Saturday matinee, but it was actually Friday.
Oh my God.
And so she was frantic, and I get the message, and I call her, and she answers the phone, "Hello," and I say, "You realize it's Friday?" And she's like, "The cab driver told me." And I said, "Okay, no worries. We would have held curtain for you anyway. Don't worry."
Oh, that would have been nice.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah, that was really, really, really funny. For Andrea McCardle's last show during the finale, Denial, every other cast member came out dressed as Annie.
Oh my God,
One after another, they all came out in Annie costumes. Oh my God. That was awesome.
That's hilarious. Let's talk about Naked Boy Singing.
Mm-hmm. It's been a constant in almost my entire adult life. I first started doing it when I was 22. I'm 40 now, you know, Naked Boys has always been there.
Yeah.
It's still fun. The boys are still great. It's still a good show. The audiences are still enjoying it, you know, and we're still full. We're sold out tomorrow.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. What's the most awkward moment that's happened? Or one of the most awkward moments?
Oh my, that's its own podcast over the years. We had a gentleman, I won't name names, I hope he's doing much better now, who showed up, he was doing Molly or Ecstasy or whatever the kids call it these days, and I didn't know, and it hit him in the middle of the show, and he almost fell off the stage. He left before we could say anything to him. We sent him an email, called him to say, you know, please don't come back. Uh-huh. You're no longer with the show.
Right.
But he went out partying, I guess, afterwards and lost his phone.
Oh, my God.
And didn't get any of the messages or anything. So as we were putting in his replacement the next day, he walked in and went, entered the room going, "I'm here." And we said, "No, you're not. No, you are not here."
Oh.
Bless.
Yes. Yes. Well, like you said, hopefully he is doing better.
I hope he's doing much better.
But I was going to say this for the end, but I want to combine Naked Boy Singing and Star Wars.
Oh, yeah?
Moment. If you were to cast...
Naked Star Wars
naked,
Singing?
Yes. Who would you cast based on characters from Star Wars? Who would you want the boys to be?
Like naked?
Yeah.
Naked's... like if I could see any... I mean...
Like, if it could be, like, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader.
Oh, like Harrison Ford in 77?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd see him naked.
Okay.
And I would absolutely see naked Luke.
Yeah.
1977.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill.
Yes.
And Adam Driver now.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I'd want him to be a combo of Kylo Ren and his character from Girls.
That would be nice to see.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, that could be like the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new Disney movies.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So speaking of Star Wars, let's move on to Star Wars, because that's your newest thing.
It is. And it's super fun.
Yes, it is. So what can you tell us about the show?
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that, yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.
Okay, well, so it's called a musical about Star Wars because that's what it is. It's a musical about Star Wars. It's not Star Wars the musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a parody. It's not in that trend of the musical parodies right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's for theater people, I would say the easiest way to describe it would be it's like Complete History of Shakespeare abridged meets title of show about Star Wars. So it's about the fandom. It's these two super fans that are trying to put up a Star Wars musical and get it to Comic-Con and play the Comic-Con circuit. And they encounter an actress who hates Star Wars. And basically, for them to go on, they have to convince her that Star Wars is the greatest thing to ever happen in the history of the galaxy, much, much, much better than Star Trek. For them to be able to get you on. And it's ridiculous. It's really stupid in a really fun way. The audiences have been incredible. We just have a great time with it. I think there's over 35 costume changes in 80 minutes. The cast is incredible. Everyone in the cast is a musical alumni.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it's really funny. And they're great. It's honestly... Someone last night, a super Star Wars fan, said, you know, it's a must-see for any Star Wars fans, but the good thing about it is casual fans are welcome, you know, and we've had, someone wrote a great blog on TDF that had never seen a Star Wars movie and was just here with her boyfriend and loved it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she loved it so much, she wrote a whole blog about why, if you've never seen Star Wars, you can still see the show and love it. Because there's a whole musical theater. There's a whole Broadway element to it, too. It's, you know, it's a Star Wars inside joke. It's also a Broadway inside joke. Mm-hmm. There's a million 80s, 90s, and pop culture inside jokes. So it's like all this fandom combined. Mm-hmm. It's really a commentary on, like, the full fandom. And it's me. I'm one of the writers on it. So it has 4 million political references.
I love it.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You said three of the cast members are alumni from the musical.
So Taylor... Crosor, Scott Foster, Emily McNamara, and then the swings are Dylan Hartwell and Amy Hilder Larson, who did musical and Wonderettes.
So now, did you write this show for them?
Yes. Me, Scott, and Taylor wrote it together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was born basically out of a sketch from musical that Scott brought in and was did great. And I said, hey, this sketch is killing. Let's write a Star Wars show.
That's amazing.
You know, and we didn't want to do a parody. There's so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started having conversations about it, and the conversations were hilarious. And because Scott's the biggest Star Wars nerd, and Taylor's a huge Star Wars nerd, and just the organic conversation was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, this is a show. And then probably 2 months into it, I was like, no, it's a musical. This is a musical. This is where a song goes.
I love it.
So we, I found Billy Reese, mm-hmm. who's an incredibly talented, up-and-coming composer. He's really brilliant. And talked to him about it, and he wrote a few songs that were incredible, and he wrote the whole score, I'd say, in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you to write the show from, like, the time you saw the skit that got brought
probably
to
about 10 months.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
cool. Yeah. We were open. We were in front of an audience within a year.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm. That's incredible. And what was the most fun to write? Like, was there, like, one scene that was just, like...
Yeah, we have a scene in it where, you know, the character of Taylor, played by Taylor, mm-hmm. is... you know, letting us know about his daddy issues. Mm-hmm. His father left as a child, and this is, you know, so he has abandonment issues, and he respects women because he had a single mother. And to work through his daddy issues, the character of Emily, played by Emily, suggests, you know, why don't we have Scott play your father figures as different Star Wars characters for you to work this out? So he, you know, has like a role play therapy session with Obi-Wan, with Yoda. That was the most fun, I think, to write. And it's one of the most fun sketches in the show. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
I guess I should stop saying sketches because it's not musical.
Right,
it's a scene. They call it a scene when it's not a musical review.
Exactly. When it's a full musical, that's what it is.
Yes, it's a scene. But that's hilarious. It kills every night.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I love it. If you could, which was your favorite Star Wars movie?
Oh, Return of the Jedi. It was the first movie I saw in the theaters when I was five. So, you know, that sticks with you.
Yeah.
I also was obsessed with the Ewok movies when I was a kid. Oh. I loved Return to Endor.
I think I didn't... I was definitely more Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I didn't really watch the Ewok ones, but I love the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're so adorable. And I think my favorite scene in Return of the Jedi is when the Ewoks are throwing the spears and stuff at the stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah. And they take down the AT-AT. Yes. They take down the Imperial Walker. It's great.
Yes. Another Star Wars question is, if you could be any Star Wars character, mm-hmm. who would you want to be?
Leia. She's the one.
She is. Badass.
Yeah.
Best outfits.
Absolutely. And she has the Force.
Yes, that's true. That's true. She has it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of strong women, you are a huge Hillary supporter.
I am.
And you worked on her campaign.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved initially?
Yeah, well, I made a phone call in 07 to donate money. Mm-hmm. And I had just seen something on the news, as usual, you know, saying false things about then Senator Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called and I said, oh, I'd like to make a donation. Okay, I'll take your donation. I said, you know what I just heard in the news? And this is wrong because of this. And do they forget that Hillary did this, you know? And I didn't know I was talking to the director of New York State for the Hillary campaign at the time. And her name was Karen. She's fabulous. And she said, whoa, wait. Who are you? Come in and make calls. Come do this.
Oh, my God.
You know, I said, well... Okay. And I said, I'm very busy. I produce theater. I can come in for an hour or two here and there. So I went and I never left. I went and, you know, and it turned into, I went to 7 states. I was there every day. And then in 2016, I didn't expect it to be what it was, but I started working on the first day with a gentleman named Adam Parkamenko, who had launched the Pack Ready for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And he was director of grassroots outreach, and he asked me to join that team, which was awesome. For the summer of 2015,
yeah,
we oversaw 45 states.
Wow.
It was That's intense.
Incredible.
And then I moved to the LGBT outreach team for the general election, which was incredible. I put together the 2016 Pride contingency, which was one of the largest contingencies New York Pride ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time in history a major party nominee marched in a Pride parade.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was incredible. Yeah. And I was there from day one, and I was on the Javits stage
uh-huh.
that night.
And what was it like to meet her? And
oh, incredible. She's incredible. She's one of the most gracious human beings you'll ever meet in your life.
Mm-hmm.
She knew I was doing a Star Wars musical like before my mother did.
Oh my God.
You know, she's so gracious. She's nails the milestones. I remember when Wonderettes opened, a congratulatory letter was handed to me at half hour on opening night.
From her.
Yes.
That's
so
nice.
So to, you know, to know that, oh, you do it at half hour.
Right.
That's pretty fabulous.
That is.
Yeah, she's always so gracious, even through like my weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
She, followed that.
Yeah.
She's great to everybody. It's a shame. We missed out big time.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I also want to talk a little bit about, you're also moving into TV.
I hope.
Yes. I've seen on social media.
Yes.
So you have a TV show in the works.
Yes, I filmed a pilot.
Yes.
It's called Melange.
Starring Morgan Fairchild. Who I love. His hands why I'm wearing Old Navy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Iconic. Yeah, so I had this idea years ago when I was in Provincetown, when the club I was working at, one of the owners passed away, and it kind of changed hands. I thought, well, wouldn't this be dramatic if there was like a fight over this? But then there wasn't.
No.
and so I had the idea for Melange, and so it's about, basically it's like a fictional Stonewall, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a historic... gay club that is, you know, that's celebrating its 40th anniversary. Originally it was 50th,
mm-hmm.
but then I learned when you're casting people don't really want to sign on for something that's celebrating its 50th
yeah.
birthday, and it's a bar
yeah.
that they were there at the beginning of. So, you know, Eileen Kristen, who is a brilliant soap actress, genius, Emmy nominee, who I wrote a role for, said, honey, And I mean, this puts me in my 70s. I'm not in my 70s. And I went, all right, let's make it 40. And she was like, oh, thank you. You know, so it's about the 40th anniversary of this historic gay bar called Melange. And just as it's about to celebrate its 40th anniversary, the owner, who has been the front man of it the whole time, mm-hmm. he dies. Wow. And it's okay because he has a protege named Ryan Parker, uh-huh. who has been being groomed to take the business over. And at Sid's memorial service, this fabulous woman wearing a full-length mink in July crashes the funeral and says, hey, not so fast. And he says, wait, were you a friend of Sid's? Oh, maybe you could say that. I'm Sid's wife. And it's Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, my God.
And she is back to stir it up.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, the cast is incredible. It's Morgan. It's so many people. I'm going to forget people because it's 17 people. But it's Morgan Fairchild. Scott Evans mm-hmm. plays Ryan. Maya Days is in it. Oh. She's brilliant in it. Eileen Kristen, Emmy Award winner. Kristen Alderson, who was in The Marvelous Wonder Ads. Mm-hmm. The legendary Darnell Williams is in it. Diana DeGarmo, Perez Hilton, the amazing Omar Sharif Jr., who's incredible. Laith Ashley is in it. So there's a lot of amazing gay celebrities. God. Alex Newell's in the pilot. Robert Newman. Yeah, it's an insane cast.
I love it. So you filmed the pilot.
Oh, and Ramsay's in it for Mad About You and League of Their Own.
Oh, my
she
God.
Is genius
I
level.
I love her.
Genius.
Oh, my God.
Genius.
Oh, my
and
God.
One of the nicest people ever. And we did 42 pages in 4 days.
Wow.
And these people were unbelievable. We didn't have dressing rooms. We were on location. They were using, like, restaurant banquettes as, like, the green room.
Oh, my God.
And they were so awesome. Aww. Everyone was just unbelievable to work with.
That's wonderful.
So I hope we find a home for it. Because mm-hmm. I think it would be amazing.
Yeah.
The cast is incredible.
Are you looking for, like more like an online home, like an Amazon, Hulu,
I think it would fit best streaming.
Uh-huh.
But also, I really think it would be great on OWN.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would fit really well with the haves and the have-nots and, you know, that lineup she has mm-hmm. going on there. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's really right up that alley. I also think it would be great on Facebook Watch
mm-hmm.
because I think, from what I understand, the demographic skews a little older uh-huh. on Facebook Watch. And did you see the Catherine Zeta-Jones show they dropped? It was fabulous.
Yet. Oh.
Like, honestly amazing.
Oh,
so
wow.
I hopefully that continues to build. But
yeah.
honestly, anywhere. Is great.
Well, so you have a lot of people that need to call you. Netflix needs to call you. Hulu, Oprah.
Oprah. Call me Oprah.
And lastly, closing things out, you've been producing Off-Broadway for
like a
forever.
Thousand years now.
Yeah. So what is something you've learned that, like, you wish you knew when you were younger about producing?
Don't overspend.
That's good advice.
It's really hard work. And that's why, I mean, I love it, though. And I think that's why we do so much off-Broadway. You know, I come really close to joining several producing teams for Broadway shows, a couple which I left. And if I didn't, I'd have a Tony. But what are you going to do?
You get a drama desk.
I lost three.
Right.
I have an off-Broadway Alliance Award, though.
Yes.
I'm the first winner in history.
Oh, that's exciting. Mm-hmm.
For Best Musical.
Awesome.
Yep. I just think, you know, off-Broadway, it's a lot of work. It's very hands-on. It's not the most glamorous, but I think it's the most rewarding. I love the day-to-day operation of it. I love being in the theater. I love, you know, being in charge of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And so that way, it's very different than a giant multi-million-dollar Broadway show that has a giant team
mm-hmm.
and a giant chain. This, I'm the chain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the final say.
Yeah.
And I get to have my fingers in every pie, and I get to be a part of everything. And it's great. I know so much more than I knew 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can make a budget in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you so much about the equity rule book.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this literally in my sleep now. And it's still so much fun. The new show is a blast.
That's incredible. Like,
putting Star Wars together was just as fun as doing a Broadway Diva Christmas mm-hmm. 1,000 years ago.
Oh,
you know,
I love that show.
It was a good show.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. None as fun as Divas I've done. None as fun as my one-man show.
I love that one. That's how we met.
Yeah. I found my cape the other day. I was wearing my Divas I've Done cape around the theater all day the other day.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That was in Provincetown. I saw that for the
first
time.
Yeah, I did it in Provincetown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here. And yeah. I actually did it in at the Kirk.
Yeah.
Because where it closed.
Yes. I saw it there too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So
aww,
many. I love it.
That's awesome.
I know.
You're the best.
Oh my God. I love our history. I love all you do. I know everybody listening, you're going to come see a musical about Star Wars.
Yes, and you can go to a musicalaboutstarwars.com, and Naked Boy Singing will be now
August.
And forever.
Yes, yes. And performances resume after June 29th for a musical about Star Wars, resumes July 13th
mm-hmm.
at St. Luke's.
At St. Luke's.
Yes. Everybody, come see Tom's shows.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, and follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tom Dangora. I say a lot.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
It's always great talking to you.
Yes, you too.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Thanks for listening. For more Call Me Adam interviews, visit CallMeAdam.com and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CallMeAdamNYC.
Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes, where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at CallMeAdam.com. Can't wait to see you there.